Brothers and sisters, today's readings speak to us about love. And these words of love that we hear today are quite profound. Jesus begins the gospel reading we hear by affirming that as the Father loved him, so he loves us. Now, love is a tricky thing that we human beings often fail to comprehend or fully understand. Love is not a feeling, nor is it an open door, as the movies would have us believe. And while the Beatles are correct in asserting that all you need is love, even they may be surprised at the profundity of this assertion. All you need is love rings true because, as we heard in the second reading, God is love. And to the extent that we have love, we partake in the life of God. Now, love properly understood is not an emotion. It is, in the words of St. Thomas Aquinas, willing the good of another. Or, for those who would like a more modern rendition, love, in the words of Olaf from Disney's movie Frozen, is putting someone else's needs ahead of your own. Jesus today instructs us to remain in his love. He gives this instruction not for his benefit, but for ours. He informs us that if we remain in his love, our joy will be complete. Now, here again, we need to make sure we're not misunderstanding what he is saying. Because so often, when we hear that God wants our joy to be complete, we easily misunderstand what is being said. And all too often, we take the notion that God wants our joy, he wants our happiness, and we turn it, it's an outside in, I'll say, and you'll understand why in a second here. Rather than using the concept as a springboard to bring us into a closer relationship with God, we use it to justify our own sin. We use it to justify whatever it is we want to do. We stop looking towards another, and instead we turn in on ourselves. We seek pleasure for ourselves, and we justify doing so by saying that God wants me to be happy. True happiness, true joy, comes not from seeking pleasure for ourselves, but from uniting ourselves with God. One of the greatest depictions of this is found in St. Augustine's Confessions. Augustine spends page after page detailing all the ways in which he sought to find happiness for himself. He sought it in an elite education. He sought it in power. He sought it through wealth, through drunkenness and sexual promiscuity. He sought it through food and through drink. He sought it through friends and through peers. And yet, Augustine realized that throughout all of his adventures, nothing provided him with that true sense of joy. Nothing provided him with that lasting sense of happiness. He had fun, I'm sure, but he never had that lasting sense of joy that permeated his being. Finally, when reflecting upon this, the saint realized that the reason he never experienced this joy was because that he was made for God. And so therefore, only God could provide that true and lasting happiness. And thus, speaking to God, he famously concluded, "We are made for you, and our hearts are restless until they rest in you." Kind of echoes that last line that we heard in our opening hymn today. You know, how can my soul be at rest except in the Lord? Friends, we're all made for God. We're all called to form a deep and personal intimacy with God, a personal relationship with him. And our joy will never be complete until we do so. Jesus knows this, and this is why he instructs us to remain in his love. He's not trying to manipulate us. Rather, he's showing us his love for us and telling us that it is that love that will complete our joy. It is that love that will sustain us and give us that type of joy that permeates the entirety of our being. He's showing his love for us. That is to say, he's willing what is good for us. He's calling us to fulfill our ultimate purpose. We were made for relationship with God, and we will not find ourselves at peace until we rest in union with God. Jesus then further instructs his followers, "You are my friends if you do what I command you." Now, at first, this can sound manipulative. You know, generally speaking, if someone comes up to you and says, "You're my friend as long as you do what I tell you to do," it's a sure sign that you should run away from that person. You know, such a person is usually quite dangerous and isn't someone that you want to be friends with. But Jesus is altogether different, for he is God. He loves us as the Father loves him. Well, how did the Father love the Son? The Father gave everything for the Son, and Jesus gives everything for us. Jesus knows what is good for us, and he wills what is good for us. And therefore, when he instructs us, "You are my friends if you do what I command you," he's not being manipulative. Because he both knows what is good for us and wills what is good for us, his commands direct us towards what is actually good for us. And so we must follow his commands if we wish to experience that true joy. Now, experiencing true joy is also one of these things that can be misunderstood. Now, far too often, we think that following Christ's commands is some sort of a burdensome thing that we have to endure in the hopes that we'll receive some kind of a reward in the future. So we approach Christ's commands with this mentality of, well, hard work now will pay off in the future. That is to say, we view his commands as something to be endured so that when we die, we can live in heaven, enjoying the many pleasures which we've deprived ourselves in this life. Friends, such an understanding of the Christian life is not only shallow, but it's seriously flawed. The Christian life is always a life of joy. It's not a pay now so as to enjoy the rewards of a future life later type of lifestyle. So if you're begrudgingly following Christ's commands now, hoping that you'll find happiness later on, your approach to the Christian life is misguided. For the Christian life is about sharing life with God, not just in the afterlife, but in every moment of our lives. It's about following God's commands, not because doing so will earn us some kind of a reward in the future, but because doing so unites us to God and gives us joy in this very moment. The Christian life is not lived in anticipation of a reward to come. Rather, the Christian life is lived in the present, with each moment being joyfully shared with God. Now, we see this in the early church. When the apostles went into the world to announce the gospel, they did so with great joy. And their joy was rooted in the fact that they were doing God's will. They were partaking in Christ's love, and so their joy was complete. And the New Testament repeatedly speaks of the joy that they experienced as a result of remaining in Christ's love, of following his command. This joy filled them so completely that, as bizarre as it sounds, they went off, were jailed and beaten, and yet rejoiced. They were cheering that they were able to suffer for the sake of the Lord. In doing so, they lived the Christian life the way it was meant to be lived. No worldly force could take away that joy that permeated their entire beings. That's how the Christian life is supposed to be lived. And yet I'd venture that most of us probably don't do that so well. Most of us, when we suffer, don't tend to rejoice, but instead we lament our suffering. We don't praise God for allowing us to suffer for his name. Instead, we tend to wallow in our self-pity and demand explanations from God. Such a reaction, while common, is a sure sign that we still have work to do in developing our relationship with God. It's a sign that we're focused inward, focused on ourselves. and not focused on the other, focused on God. See, the problem is we're not made for ourselves. We're not made for our own sake. Therefore, such a focus is never going to lead us to true joy. You see, we need to learn what the apostles learned. We need to learn what Augustine learned. We are made for God. And it's only in God that we will find our joy. It's only in living for Him and following His commandments, loving one another as He loved us, that will bring us that true sense of joy. So we need to learn to turn our desires from the inside out, to put the needs of others ahead of our own needs. We must learn to will the good of others as opposed to willing the good of ourselves. And if we do that, we'll find ourselves not slaves who simply follow a bunch of commands, but rather we'll find that we become true friends with Christ. We'll find ourselves forming a deep and profound relationship with Him, a relationship that will be the source of our joy. And it'll be the type of joy that's not temporary or fleeting, but that permeates us in every moment. And indeed, we will find that our hearts are truly at rest, for they will rest in God. Brothers and sisters, peace to you and to all who remain in Christ's love.